Thank you. I like to say, like, good, you know, if you watch that Alo Alo, good moaning, as I felt very rejected by the worship group not choosing my favorite songs of all times. I only get to sing it probably once in that 10 years time. Father Abraham had many kids had fun. Oh, I feel so disillusioned now with the church, with everything. My life has collapsed around me. Rejected, abandoned, and completely demoralized, spiritually, physically, and everything. Oh, thank you. Would you sing with me, Father Abraham? Now then, faith is a substance, it's not a concept. We said faith is a substance, is not an ideology. Faith is a substance, is not a philosophical concept that we want to understand and pursue and sort it out. Faith is a journey, is not just a destination. Faith is what God calls us to as we walk with Him, and in the process He would like us to be living testimonies to all those that we walk by, walk with, walk among. Faith is an incredible privilege that God has given us as a gift from Him, to trust Him that whatever He calls, we may follow alongside Him. He will go ahead of us, clearing the way. Faith is not just an exercise. It is an incredible privilege of a journey to walk with the God who set out the heavens and the stars in heavens, who's close Himself with majesty and splendor. Faith is walking alongside this incredible God who loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son to die on that cross. He came among us to minister healing, to bring and make, perform miracles, and do all sorts of things. But at the end of the day, for one and only one reason, He came, to die on that piece of wood, what we call the cross. And then being brought to life in hope, in expectations that our life will be the same with Him one day into His presence as we walk with Him by faith. Now, how many of you, Debbie mentioned this morning the schools that we pray for, and how many of you enjoy, but be honest, enjoy or have enjoyed exams at school? Anybody enjoy them? There's always one. It's Graham. Graham, of course, would have enjoyed. He's a mathematician. He loves exams, doesn't he? Now, I used to be sick, ill, honestly, and doing all that stuff. I just didn't enjoy it. It never really suited me. And funnily enough, God has this sense of humor, because I know just after finishing my 12 classes in Romania, 12 years of school, baccalaureate and all that stuff, then I thought, this is it, I had it, I freedom indeed. After that, God called me into ministry. He followed another 9 years of studies, which was year after year after year, at least three exams every year, or three every term, for that matter. And in Romania, you don't get, you know, like here, you get a mock exam to show you how you're getting on. Romania, you don't get told anything. You just have to turn up and you hope, I've studied for geometry, and they give you algebra instead. Or you study about Wordsworth, and they give you Burns or whoever in the literature, English literature or whatever. You don't get any clues. Here, at least they prepare you. And what I found is, when I saw Josh's or even Daniel's exams, that sometimes the mock exams have nothing to do with the real exams. It's just a bit of a, but they are there. And I don't like exam. And I feel that in life with God, the test that He calls us to, He always gives us a bigger picture of where we have to go. He tells us and prepares us in advance of what He is looking for when He prepares us for the exams of life. And this is what we have in this incredible story of Abraham. We know the story. We've heard sermons after sermons after sermons. We know he was faithful. We know he was called. He obeyed. He went. He was blessed, and so on. And I was just praying and hoping that this morning I can bring something new to you and fresh that relates to our walk with God, the disciples of Jesus, in our faith with him. And I want to start this because this 9, 10 verses that we read here, it's all about Abraham. And it's a little bit about Isaac and a little bit about Jacob. But then if you look in Hebrews 11, it turns after this story. So next week we're going to talk about Isaac, and then the week after it's going to be Jacob, and then it's Joseph, and then it's Moses' parents and Moses. And there's something very interesting that this book together is written, every letter in the original language is written with the words faith for every single name that it starts there. Very incredible discovery that one of those great theologians have had the time to sit down and look at it and discover it. With Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses. All that comes to a word faith in the Greek language. And what struck me was the fact that God calls himself the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. Do you know when he ever calls himself that? It's written at the end of this, of chapter, of verse 24, when he says, by faith Moses. When God first appeared to Moses to call him and said, I want you to go and get my people out of Egypt, he introduced himself as the God of Abraham, as the God of Isaac, and as a God of Jacob. God never before that time, before Moses' time, ever introduced himself as God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, I stand before you here and I understand, as good Christian, lovely Romanian pastor, that God will call himself God of Abraham, because Abraham was a God who was a man who obeyed God, who had incredible faith. Okay, he might have been a liar here and there, but overall he was a good, lovely Christian church guy. I understand why God will call himself the God of Isaac, because Isaac was the blessing that God gave to Abraham to multiply the nations, to see a people that come out and will follow him, will represent him, and will bring his glory. But what I didn't understand, and that I struggled with over the years, is how can God call himself the God of Jacob? Because Jacob, we know, was a cheat and a liar, and what shall I call him? This is an embarrassment to Christianity, to church lovely people, to church going people like us. How can God call himself a God of Jacob? And if you remember, the encounter that God had with Jacob was that the first encounter that they had, God said to him, your name is not Jacob, your name is Israel. That's what your name is. And I found over the years this struggle within me. Why did God call himself the God of Jacob? Yes, I understand Abraham and I understand Isaac, but why Jacob? When he was such a terrible guy, he's stolen the birthright of his brother Esau, older brother Esau. He made a whole mess of God's plan and purpose for bringing into being his people Israel. A whole mess. I came with the answer that I wonder if there is a Jacob in all of us lovely, good, churchy people. That God loves us as much as when we are Abraham and Isaac, as much as we are also Jacob. That God loves, and especially when he appeared to Moses and he said, I'm the God of Abraham, of Isaac and Jacob. Moses said, I'm not good. I can't even speak properly. How can I go? And God says, but I am the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and you're not listening. Of Jacob too, you're not listening. I am calling you, and I'm your God too. And I am giving you the gift of faith to lead my people out. And when I began this and realized over the years that as a 17 years old, when I first, I think, first really encountered Christ in my life, and he was in a Pentecostal church for that matter, I struggled because my family background, my understanding of God, of faith, of everything issue, I wasn't Abraham or Isaac. And God said, I was always a Jacob. How could they call me to pursue a journey of faith when I don't fit within the purposes of his will and sovereignty? I don't fit within that blue pattern of scripture where God calls the righteous people. And I took years of faith, of journey of faith, we got to understand that God calls himself the God of Abraham, of Isaac, but also of Jacob. Are you not glad that God calls himself the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob at the same time? Because you and me, at times we're Abrahams, but at times there is a Jacob within us. Jacob represents the bad side of Israel. Israel represents the good side of Jacob. There's always this fight in us that is of sin that we struggle with. And God says, on the journey of faith, I understand. I called you. And I am the God, yes, of Abraham and of Isaac, but I'm also your God. The God of Jacob who struggles. Who sometimes is a cheat, is a liar, is whatever it is. And so we come to this incredible story where God brings a test to Abraham. This incredible man of faith, incredible man who not only obeys God in his calling, but he really trusts him with all his heart. And he puts his trust in God, his faith, into practice. He is called by God, as we know, and I'm going to go very, very quickly, as quick as I go through this, that God calls him into this first test. He was called to go to a place. He would later receive as his inheritance, obey, and went, even though he did not know. He did not know. Most of you know this story, as I said. God asked Abraham to go someplace, somewhere, where he had no idea. This is where, as a 17 years old, I struggled, because I always felt I will have an international ministry. Believe me or not, I always felt. When everybody else, and I think I said this to you before, was studying maths and chemistry and geography and literature and all that stuff, I was with the books underneath of English and learning English as a foreign language. Everybody was preparing for their maths exams and all that stuff. I was doing English, and I was punished for that. I was asked to retake some exams in 2 summers, 2 years, one after the other, because I was trying to learn English. I knew that God has called me. I had no idea where, but I knew he has, and I rely on that promise. Imagine this poor Abraham. He lived in this incredible town, and I can imagine Abraham had a lot of questions. Where am I going? And God saying, well, I'll show you. Do not worry, I'll show you. I imagine Abraham saying, well, how long will it take? I'll let you know. Don't worry about it. How do I know when I get there? That's one of the big questions. But how do I know I'm really in your will? How do I know I'm exactly where you want me to be? How would I be able to do that? And it was especially difficult for Abraham for several reasons. Listen to that. You remember the story. In Genesis, it tells us that Abraham, when he moved, was 75 years old. Have you noticed that sometimes you move your parents, your grandparents, you know, you move them closer to you, or you move them in some other place, and sometimes they get very confused, disillusioned, discouraged, they lose friends, they lose relatives. A move at that kind of age is very, very difficult. And this is, I can imagine, what Abraham was going through. I've been living here for 75 years, and you now call me, I don't know where, I'm losing my friends, I'm losing everything that you've given me, and you want me to go? Where? Where shall I go? It was especially difficult for him, and I can imagine him again saying, God, I'm ready to retire. Give me a break. I'm ready to retire. No. God was saying to him, you are ready to aspire. Or I could imagine him very well saying, I'm ready for a pension and a rest. And I was saying, nah, I'll give you a pilgrimage and a quest. God, I'm ready to take it easy and relax. I have something to bite. As one poet said, but you are going to have the biggest adventure, the adventure of faith, the biggest in your life. And this is kind of situation which Abraham was in. He was, well, I'm good, thank you very much. I've done my bit for the world, for God, for everything else. Leave me alone. 75 years old, I don't want no more stuff. And that's when God comes in. And Abraham learns the first test, this mock exam we got of faith. That as a disciple of Jesus, we, as Abraham, will follow God's leading without knowing where. Where. And this is what faith is. Faith is not an explanation. God doesn't... it is not compelled to give us, to explain to us the acts of faith that he calls us to follow and obey and trust. We do that, and that's what is called faith. Otherwise, we wouldn't need if God will explain everything to us. Even when he calls us to a place where we don't know where to go. And I'm sure if I were to ask you, if you've ever been in a situation like that, you could tell me straight away, where should I retire? Where should I live? Where should I work? Some of you are saying, God, show me. Show me where. And probably God must be saying to you, and I know many of you will echo this, you get moving first, and then I'll show you. But what happens is that we choose deliberately to stay put because we are afraid of stepping out in faith where God might want us to be and go. The first test is not knowing where, but we'll still choose to follow. The second test that comes within this says, but faith, Abraham made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. And he lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob. Look at that, the name there. I am the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, who are heirs with him of the same promise. Even Jacob inherited God's blessing, the promise that God has given. By faith, Abraham made his home living in tents. You can say he was living intently. The Lord did bless them. God wants us to base our lives on promises, on his promises, and not, as I said, on explained concepts of what faith might mean for each one of us every step of the way. You know, the best way I can describe faith is a journey. But this journey is not the one where, you know, the lift that we've got here, you go into the lift, you press the button, and you go up straight away, and you reach your destination, no problem, no effort, legs still intact, no knee pain, no muscle pain, no buttocks disturbs. If you go on the steps, it's more difficult. And what I love about our steps here in church, if you go on those blue steps there, is that after you do about, I think, 20 steps, there is a platform where you can rest. Do you another 20 steps, there's another platform that you can rest. And there's another 5, 6, 7, 20 steps, and there's a big platform where you can rest for good. Faith is like that. God takes us step by step by step, and from time to time, he gives us a platform to rest, to look back, and to look forward to where we're going. It is not an elevator. It's not a lift journey. It is a step by faith. Step by step by step. Is that a good illustration or not? Jamie, Jimbo, say yes. Amen. Thank you. This is what God does in the tests of life. Step, 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 platform. Look back and see what God is doing in your life. Look forward to where you're going, the journey that is awaiting for you. It took me ages to come up with that illustration. Here we go. A real disciple of Jesus Christ will wait God's timing without knowing when. Without knowing when. Some of you have experienced this great test number two today. You're in this when test. The burning question in your life is, Lord, when? When are things going to get better in my marriage, in my work, in my relationship? When am I going to have a baby? When am I going to get that job? When am I going to get well? Some of you are in that test now. It's not the where, but it is the when. The question I have for you is, what are you expecting God to do that He hasn't fulfilled yet? What is it that you're expecting God to do in your life that He hasn't fulfilled? He fulfilled every single promise that He's given me in my life, and more. And let me tell you, not because I was an Abraham or an Isaac. I was even a Jacob at times, and God still fulfilled the promise. God fulfilled His promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob too. He's still had. And that's the kind of God I worship and I love. It doesn't mean that I have to be a jerk Jacob all the time. But there is always a Jacob within us. Number three test, and one more after that. By faith, Abraham, in the story of Genesis, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was unable to become a father, because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. He considered God faithful. The third great test in Abraham's life, God had promised Abraham that one day he would be the father of a great, multi-fantastic nation that will take his name, that will represent his name to all the people on the earth, to all the other nations. But the problem was, at the age of 99, how can you believe such a terrible promise? How can you believe it? You've been there, done that. No way. Can you imagine blessed Sarah, his wife? She was a bit younger than him. But she would have looked at herself as double, no way. No chance here, Lord. Look at me. Look at my frail body. It's impossible. It's impossible. And you know what happened. That later on, they did have a child, and they call him Isaac, which means laughter. This is a joke, God. This is a joke. You give us a son now? Now is your promise coming? At this time? We've got no power. Do you want me to change nappies now at 99 years old of age? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Isaac was born. Isaac means laughter. But who has the last love? God does. Because He is the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. He is an incredible God who loves and specializes in impossible situations. 99 years old. There is hope for you ladies here at a certain age. Lord, how? Lord, how am I going to make ends meet this month? You might be in this quest of how will this be possible. You might not be in the when or in the where or the when, but you might be in this incredible test, which is very hard. But how? How are you going, Lord, to fulfill your promise to me? How am I going to make ends meet? How am I going to survive in my marriage, in my relationship, at work? Or how am I going to see my future being fulfilled? At the moment, I don't see any of that. This is for you, the test of faith that God brings into your life. You might be in this question test of how. How? A disciple of Jesus Christ will expect God to work, will expect God's miracle, will expect God's blessing, will expect God's outpouring of His promises, even when we don't know how that might happen. Even when we don't know how that might be. It's absolutely mind-blowing. Faith is a substance of things not seen, not heard, no knowing where, or when, or how. That's not a concept. Faith is a substance. And lastly, one of the most difficult ones, that by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, had an exam. This is his last, this is the final. This is the PhD kind of thing. He offered Isaac as the sacrifice. Abraham reasoned. Look at that word very carefully. He reasoned. Faith doesn't mean always just marching on regardless. But he thought this issue through. He thought this issue through, and he came to realize that God could actually raise the dead. He was hoping that, okay, if he's going to kill his son, this promised child, this wonderful, beautiful child, Isaac, he reasoned, he thought to himself, actually, I have enough faith to think that this God that I believe in, he will bring him back to life. He will bring my son back to life. Faith is not just walking to the dark. Sometimes it takes in this journey for us calculated risk, as we call them today. But trusting within that, in God and God alone, not any other avenues. By faith, Abraham, when God he risen. I personally feel and think and believe that the Christian disciple will always trust God's purpose for his life without knowing why. And this why is probably the hardest test that God sometimes put us through and allow us to. This is sometimes when we go on those steps and we get to the platform where we rest for a little bit. It is on that platform that we ask the question why. Usually on the steps we have the where and the when and the how. It is on the platform where we get our breath back for a little bit and we ask, but why, Lord? Why did I have to go all those steps up here, and why have I to go up there? Why have I lost my spouse? Why did my marriage collapse? Why don't I have the job that I always dreamt of? Why doesn't my salary increase? Whatever it is, the why do you have in your life? This is the hardest question. Why did I have cancer? Why did my friend die? Why did a 12 years old girl from the ridge died in a terrible accident 2 weeks ago on M6. Why? The great test of faith, of why. How, where, why, when. But the real test comes now. How do you handle the hows, the whys, the whens, the wheres of life, when God's promise seems to be delaying, when he seems to be silent? Usually, and I still struggle, and I'm honest, I need to be honest with you, that I sometimes don't see myself as Abraham or as Isaac. I see myself as Jacob. And I struggle with that when I get to a platform where I ask the question why, or I know why God allows this stuff in my life, because I've done that and the other, I've been a naughty Jacob. And I don't think this is what God's plan is for us. And I say it, as I said it before, we are not guinea pigs in his grace laboratory of life. God behind all of this has one and one reason in his heart and his mind. His love for us that goes from step to step to step in fulfilling his purposes for us, as for his kingdom at the same time. In the midst of all this, God loves us deeply. When you take these human exams, tests, you think about it, and the secret is knowing the right answers. You give the right answer to a math test, to a geography test, you have passed. I very rarely gave the right answer. But that's how you pass a human test. But the secret of passing God's test is not knowing the answers, but still trusting, following, walking, going, singing, praising in the midst of the whys, the when, and the hows, and the wheres, and I don't know the answer. This is what faith is all about. I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac, but I'm also the God of Jacob. This is the God who calls us, and it's not a shame, we're still in the ready to call himself the God of his people who follow him. What a God we have. What an incredible God. This is the call, amen, indeed. This is the faith that he calls us to follow him, that he is the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. What a privilege it is to follow him, even when we, I can't get those people out of Egypt. I am the God of Jacob too, Moses. But we'll come back to that later on. This is an incredible plea of faith. Lord, I don't know where, but I'm going to follow you. Help me with my anxieties. Lord, I don't know how, but I'm going to believe. Help me with my worries. Lord, I don't know when, but I'm going to obey you. Help me with my fears. Lord, I don't know why, but I'm going to trust your love. Help me in my doubts. Help me. And I love this verse in scripture. In Mark, I think it is. When a man came to Jesus who was desperately ill, and Jesus said, what do you want, you know, do you want to be healed? And the man said, yes. Jesus said, well, do you believe that? Do you believe that? Do you believe that I can heal you? And the answer, the classic answer from this guy, he said, Lord, I believe. Lord, I'm Abraham and I'm Isaac, but I'm also a Jacob. Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for giving us a snapshot into the heart of your love for us this morning. Thank you for Jesus and the incredible revelation you've given us in and through him on that cross, in his ministry here on earth. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence here this morning to come and live within us, to show us the incredible grace of God. Come and pour down your Spirit on us, we pray. That we may trust and obey, that we may follow and praise in the midst of our wheres and hows and whens and whys. We thank you that you are the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. We thank you that you use us, you call us, and you fulfill your purposes in and through us as we walk with you to the steps of life, giving us opportunity at every corner to enjoy the view, to trust in you, to obey you, and yet, again, with the strength from your Spirit, to continue to follow. Father, help us to remain rooted in that love, trusting that you are ahead of us, and at times you carry us on your arms when we can walk no more. Father, increase our faith. Increase our faith for our families, for our children. We trust them into your hands and we pray that you will bless them. And as they walk on the steps of their faith with you. Take them by the hand and never let them go. We pray that you will give us patience as we wait for the promise in the midst of our damaged relationships, the pain of betrayal, of bereavement, in the midst of struggling with illness. Lord, may our wives and house and be replaced with reassurances of your comforting presence and love and grace. Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. I want to pray this morning that you will bless the people in this congregation who are at any of the stages, or probably in even four of them, and many others in their walk with you, where they don't know where to turn to, when to expect the blessing, how what that will turn up to them, and the promise that you made, or even those who are on that platform asking the why. Why me? Why have you allowed this? Lord, increase their faith. Help them in their walk with you, and may them know that you will never let go of you, their hands, their souls and their lives. Help us in all of this to fulfill your purposes, and that your name above everything else may be glorified in and through our walk of faith with you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Thank you.